Almighty and merciful God, from whom comes all counsel, wisdom, and understanding, we humbly ask you to guide and assist us in our deliberations and in our work. May all our efforts be directed to the welfare and good of our community and our country. May we act honorably in pursuit of true justice for all our people, now and for the future, and for generations still to come. Amen.
Meeting of Parliament, Thursday, 21st of November 2013. 1. Oath of Allegiance. 2. Confirmation of minutes. The minutes of the last meeting of Parliament, which was held on the 17th, 18th, and 29th of October 2013.
May I sign the minutes as correct?
Communications from the Chair.
This is the first time that I am formally ruling on a matter raised by the Leader of the Opposition. It is not very often that the Speaker, either here in this Parliament or perhaps in any other Parliament, is asked to make a ruling. Accordingly, I have checked with the Office of the Clerk of the House of Commons as to whether a Member of Parliament is entitled to rise and respond to a ruling. The position in the House of Commons is that a Member will not be allowed to rise and respond, or even to serve his position, as this would in effect be challenging the ruling. The correct formal step for a Member who is dissatisfied would be to table a formal motion stating his opposition to the ruling clearly. Now to the matter at hand. As members are no doubt aware, the Leader of the Opposition has been in correspondence with me, seeking my adjudication on an allegation that government ministers had misled Parliament when answering questions in relation to the Sandbourne floating hotel. Having studied our standing rules and orders, consulted the edition of Erskine May currently in use, and after consulting the Office of the Clerk of the House of Commons, I responded with a ruling which I think should be placed on the record so that all members should be aware of the salient points contained therein. In the Leader of the Opposition's letter of the 17th of July 2013, he asked that I rule on, and I quote, whether A, the deliberate misleading of Parliament by a member is capable of amounting to a contempt of Parliament, and B, you have the power on a complaint by another member that a member of Parliament has deliberately misled Parliament and therefore acted in contempt to rule that a prima facie case has been established. End of quote. The following excerpts from my reply to the Leader of the Opposition constitute my ruling. 1. Erskine May, at page 203, sets out the breaches of parliamentary privilege which could amount to a contempt. These include circumstances where the business of the House is obstructed or impeded. Up until the present time, and noting the Leader of the Opposition's dissatisfaction with the answers given to his question, but in no way judging the issue, I fail to see how it can be held that the business of the House was impeded so as to constitute a contempt. nor again do I consider that the business of the house was obstructed or impeded. Two, there is no provision in our standing rules and orders to deal with cases regarding allegations of the minister misleading Parliament when answering a question. This is also the position in the House of Commons. In not giving the Speaker the power to adjudicate on allegations or complaints that a minister has misled Parliament when answering questions, the Speaker is being safeguarded, probably intentionally, from being placed in an untenable situation. Never-ending instances would no doubt arise whenever a member was not satisfied with an answer, when the Speaker would be expected to adjudicate on allegations that Parliament had been misled. Three, I have also asked the Office of the Clerk of the House of Commons as to what courses of action in parliamentary terms are open to the opposition should they consider that the government has misled Parliament. They have replied that, and I quote, purely procedurally, if a government minister is accused of misleading the House, then A, either the opposition could approach the matter politically with motions of censure, confidence, etc., or B, if they thought that a particular member, in this case a minister, had misled the House, then another member could make a complaint in the normal way for the matter to be treated as a matter of privilege and referred to the Committee of Privileges. End of quote. Since we do not have a Committee of Privileges in our Parliament to whom the matter can be referred, only A above would seem to be relevant. And that is the end of my ruling. And I am providing all members with a copy of this ruling.
Four, petition. Five, announcement. Six, papers to be laid. The Honourable Speaker.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honour to lay on the table the orders of the Council of Gibraltar Regulatory Authority for the year ended 31st of March 2013.
Order to lie.
The Honourable Minister for Enterprise, Training, Employment and Health and Safety.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honour to lay on the table the Social Security Insurance Amendment and Benefits Order 2013, Legal Notice 131 of 203.
Order to lie.
The Honourable the Minister for Tourism, Commercial Affairs, Public Transport and the Port.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honour to lay on the table the report of the Principal Auditor on the accounts of the Water Port Authority for the financial year ended 31st of March 2012.
Order to lie.
7 reports of committees, 8 answers to all questions. Question 690 of 2013, the Honourable J.J. Mitchell.
Mr. Speaker, I would like my oral question from 690 of 2013 to 706 of 2013, both included, to be treated as written questions instead.
Mr. Speaker, the government will not object to that application made by Mr. Mega, but it's a matter, in my view, entirely for the chair.
There is nothing in the rules to cover the situation where the members of the opposition desire that questions should be answered in written prior notice is given to that effect, and likewise, when notice is given, the questions are down for another answer, separate notice is given. The only situation, once notice of the question has arisen, where written answers are provided to questions which were meant for oral answer, is when a member asking, due to ask the question, is not present. If that member is absent and no other member in his place or her place asks that question, then a written answer is given. Since the government has no objection, I am not going to object to that being the case, but I do wish to make the point that it is not covered by rules and that therefore it should not be taken as a precedent.
Mr. Speaker, given that questions 707 onwards are to be answered by me, and we have established a precedent in this House for the Chief Minister to answer questions, on the third Thursday of each month at 3 p.m., I now move that the House recess until 3 p.m. this afternoon.
The House will now recess to 3 p.m.